Pasa Calexico. Welcome back to the podcast. Before we begin, I want to thank my friends here at Calexico Brewing Company for allowing me to, you know, record today's episode here. I really, really appreciate it. Today we have a returning guest. I was telling her before we started recording that the last time we spoke was October 3rd, I believe, 2019.
Long time ago. I'm glad it's good to be back.
Yeah, and she was away for a bit, but now she's back. I'm still like kind of like looking for her next project or adventure. Yes. So the last time we spoke, my guest today is Alexandra Rangel. Thank you for being here. Didn't even say your name, but last time we spoke, you were working for KYMA, KSWT?
KYMA, yes, in Yuma. And I was working out of the bureau here in Imperial County. I don't know if it was my first year. Was it my first year or second year?
What was it, 2019?
Yeah.
And you remember what?
I couldn't even tell you when I started, but it was probably my middle mark once I had already gotten like acclimated to some of the stuff.
Yeah, because you seemed like more comfortable.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, I did 2 years of reporting here. After that, I got a freelance gig in San Diego, KPBS. I did about like 8 months there, which was super cool. And then after that, I was looking for new opportunities. And I decided to move to Florida for a year, exactly a year. I just moved back. So I was reporting out there for a year, and it was an interesting experience.
So that year mark was something that you set yourself on? Or
you know what? I intended to be in Florida for, you know, maybe 2 years, possibly, and then transfer back. But you know what? It's like I really enjoyed Florida. I learned a lot. It was a great experience. But it's cost of living is high over there, and it's so far away from my family. Like, oh my gosh!
Yeah, it was like from one.
It was so hard, like moving as it is, and then yeah. So my apartment over there, my lease was up, and I was, you know, should I resign? Should I look for something else? And I was looking at apartments. I was thinking of, you know, signing another lease. And then I was like, you know what? It's so expensive. I'm missing home. I'm just gonna head back.
Yeah, and it's you went from, you know, one end of the country to the next.
Completely opposite, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, weather-wise, you know, it's kind of hot, more humid. But, you know, you deal with more, you know, speaking about weather, you know, like, tropical storms,
hurricanes. You know, when I moved over there, I knew hurricanes were a possibility, and I spoke to some people who lived in Florida, were from Florida, and they're like, you know, Alex, don't worry about it, it's, you know, it just rains a lot, no big deal. Well, come to find out, the year I move is like the biggest hurricane, and it's in the history of like Florida, just the damage that it caused. And that was an interesting experience, a very scary one. But you know what? I got through it. I'll take an earthquake any day. I'm not going to lie.
So people over there are like earthquakes for us.
Over there, it's like, oh, you have earthquakes in California. I'm like, yeah, but these hurricanes are something else. Like,
I mean, for me, it's, you know, when I think about it, I think I would rather live in that area because at least you kind of know ahead of time.
You do know ahead of time, but just the damage it causes. Mm. I mean, a lot of the homes are, you know, built for hurricanes, but like something like this was just like almost every home was like touched, damaged, whether it was like a shingle from the roof or like the fence, like minor flooding, but still flooding that needs to be, you know, fixed, mold, all that stuff. Yeah. They deal with mold on a year basis. Like, right now, it's getting into the summer months where it rains every day. So it'll rain every day, like maybe around 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. It'll rain for maybe like 30 minutes, but every day, like it rains. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, here we hardly see any rain. So when we do, it's like, and it's crazy because, you know, we hardly see any rain. And when it does, we are always complaining about it.
Yes, we do. Exactly. Like we're in a drought. And we're still complaining.
Yeah.
But so over there, we get good enough rain. A lot of people like to talk about the humidity, or they hate the humidity in Florida. To me, it wasn't that much of a big deal. You know, I'm used to the desert heat, so it wasn't that much big of a deal. It was more the mosquitoes, the no-see-ums, the lizards running around everywhere. Like, oh my, I've had maybe like about 3 baby lizards in my apartment Oh my gosh, worst experience. So, I'm always like, before I get in bed, I kid you not, every day I lift up the covers and I would, is there any lizards in my bed? Because they just get inside your home.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And did you see, because alligators are another thing that.
Yes, alligators. Did I see an alligator out in the wild? No, I didn't. But they're there. You know, they're there. We get reports. I work in the news. So they go send you out to go, you know, see where the alligator is, talk to neighbors and stuff. And you see the crazy videos. And yeah, these alligators are no joke.
And in terms of, you know, the stories that you got to cover, is it similar to?
So different. You know, here in the Imperial Valley, I mean, it's my hometown. I got to cover everything from the border to, you know, city, county issues. In my opinion, like very important issues, where Florida, it was very much, they do like, we did cover important issues, right? But they do very much like the Florida man story. You know, what's going to get the clicks? Yeah. What's going to get people, you know, watching, tuning in? So some stuff was very interesting that I covered. Like, why am I covering this? But yeah, you just roll with it, you know?
And obviously, you know, a lot of when it's in hurricane season, you get to cover, you know, the damage. And
yes. Yeah.
To meet some of the people.
That was probably the best part of my experience over there. So I was a morning reporter over there, a little different from what I was doing here. Over there, I did mornings. So I worked from 4 a.m. to 12. And I reported live for our morning shows. We have like a 6, 7, 8, 9, and a 10 a.m. show. So those like 5 hours, I'm out on the field. We usually have like a story set ahead of time. But, you know, there's breaking news or sometimes we wake up and there's something happening. So that's what we'll jump on. But, yeah, the hurricane was in September, I believe, 28. So it's been around 8 months now. But the hurricane was interesting. You know, we were preparing for it like days ahead. We knew there was, you know, a hurricane coming. And when it hit. And I remember, like, we evacuated to a college. So we were safe. That was one of the good things where, like, I didn't know, like, what it would be like. But we were in, like, this college that is basically, you know, made for, you know,
yeah.
It's hurricane proof. So we were good. Like, you barely, like, felt the wind and stuff. But, yeah, after the hurricane, once it hit, you know, they sent us out to go see what the damage was. And that was pretty scary.
Do you think that, because over there was different, where like over here, it was like just you with your camera.
Yeah. Used to see me by myself, right, with my camera. It's what you call an MMJ, multimedia journalist. So you're the reporter and you're like the cameraman as well. Mm. So you do everything. Over there, I had a cameraman with me almost every day. Yeah.
Okay. And the same one or?
They would switch. I had maybe like 3 different cameramen, but I always had one with me. Yeah.
Okay. So do you think you like that better than being?
Oh my gosh, definitely. Right. Like, it's just so helpful. And I mean, you're put in some dangerous situations. You need a second person there. Like, I was even talking to like a coworker who's, she's not my coworker, but she's a reporter here now at KYMA. And we were just talking about work, you know, giving each other advice and stuff like that. And I was telling her, like, the stuff that I used to go to here in Imperial Valley by myself.
Yeah.
Fires, crime scenes.
Yeah.
All of that. It's not okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we still did it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember we were talking in the first episode where you were at the railroad tracks in El Centro covering, I think it was 2 different murders. Yes,
that murder, that double murder.
One of them was in a barrel. Like,
yes, that is a story that needs to be like, a movie needs to be made, a book, something, a series.
Yeah, I remember, I was like, you know, you're out there by yourself. Mm-hmm.
Out in the train tracks.
Yeah.
Recording with my camera and, you know, in a not so good part of, you know, El Centro probably. And yeah.
Yeah, the person that did it, I mean, I don't even know if they ever got caught or not.
They did, I believe. I've been catching up a little bit, but it was like the mom and the boyfriend who had their son was killed on the train tracks. And then like a week later, one of the best friends of the son was killed. And it ended up being the mom and the boyfriend who killed him for revenge. It was a crazy thing. And at that time, I knew who that lady was. She was, I had met her for a previous story, and she would like message me on Facebook during the time that that was happening. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember like you mentioning that you would go to like court to cover a story, and like you would see the family that might, you know, look at you weird because you're there.
You see the families, they see you on TV reporting on it. And yeah, like once I had like a security guard escort me to my car because it was like, dang, like. Yeah.
Did you think that, you know, because I remember we were talking about people, if people would recognize you down here or, and, you know, ask you about, you know, being on TV. Do you think you would get recognized more in over there in Florida or in California?
Definitely here more just because I'm from here. So, you know, people knew me once I was like established more, like, you know, after maybe a year had passed by, people would recognize me. But in Florida, I would still get recognized by people. I tag out my name in Spanish, Alexandra Rangel. They'd be like, they don't even know Spanish, right? They're like, Alexandra, Alexandra, like, I see you on the TV. And, you know, just, yeah. So I would get recognized sometimes, yeah.
And in terms of the population, because, you know, for us, we've seen, like, you know, Scarface, where, like, it's Puerto Ricans or Cubans. Is that the... Or is it like pockets of...
It is. There's just a wide range. I'd say maybe Miami's where it's more diverse. I was in Southwest Florida, which is like the West Coast of Florida. So Miami's directly across from us, right? So I'm on, yeah, the West Coast of Florida. That area, we covered about 5 counties. And that area is, you know, Fort Myers, Naples, what is it, Cape Coral. That area is like... A lot of like older folks retire there and stuff. It's also a lot of families live there. The diversity, there's still diversity. I would say the most like diversity you see is like, you know, the workers, the immigrants who work there. You know, there's a lot of resorts, a lot of golf courses. You know, that's where people retire. So there's all this like restaurants and entertainment type stuff. And it's the immigrants that are working all those, you know, jobs. So that's where you start to see the diversity. Like in Uber. An Uber is always going to be like Cuban, Haitian, or like, yeah. Oh. So there was diversity.
You know, just before you came back, we saw this bill that the governor passed.
Yes, SB 1718.
Did you see? Because, you know, I mean, I see it on TikTok. I don't know if it's people like over... hyping it, but was it true?
So there was like viral videos going around of, you know, people recording like there's no workers anymore, donde están los trabajadores, like, and you would see like fields that were empty and like construction sites that were empty. Did that happen? Not necessarily, not as like the video portrays it, right? But there is like when that bill passed, there is a sense of like immigrants are now scared. I'm sure some have left and some are thinking of leaving because I've spoken to some who like are thinking of leaving to other states just because of this bill that requires, you know, like the hospitals are going to start to ask for documentation status, employers who employ more than I believe it's like more than 25 people. They're going to start doing that E-Verify system. So I mean, it's very interesting. I don't know. A lot of these immigrant workers, they kind of just stick to themselves. They don't know a lot about what's going on. I'd say like the worker shortage in Florida, I've noticed it since I moved there. I think a lot of it was caused by COVID. A lot of people left back to their country during that time. And I think, which is why we saw that whole, you know, border, the recent border surge, like, people are trying to come back who maybe were already here even, you know? So I think since COVID, all around, I've seen, like, a shortage of workers. Because even during that time, I was working here, and I would do some stories out in the fields with some, you know, agriculture employees here, and they didn't have workers. They're like, there's a shortage.
Yeah.
So I saw similar things in Florida. Like, you go to every restaurant, they have a sign that says, now hiring, you know? So I think it's just been like a cycle of stuff, you know, where you've seen a worker shortage. But
do you think that this bill will probably impact the shortage even more?
I think so. People are on edge. You know, they're already walking on eggshells. So And over there, it's like a housing crisis. So people are can't already like afford stuff. You know, I've heard stuff from restaurant owners in Florida who are vouching for their employees just so they could like get approved for an apartment or a house to rent. Like it's just so hard. So I don't see a lot of people staying there for long. Yeah, like if this continues. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, I saw it on TikTok and I wanted to ask you because, you know, obviously you were there.
Yeah. When so we're very I lived very close, maybe about an hour away from where it's called Immokalee. That's kind of where the agriculture city is, where they do like tomatoes, oranges and
strawberries.
There's a lot of Haitians out there. I know they're still going to work. Definitely. As far as the construction goes, I think it's maybe it comes in waves and stuff. Like there's, you know, some places are waiting for permits and stuff to get passed. So that's why sometimes you'll see like places that have no construction going on for maybe weeks on end.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, a lot of places you see that where like construction overhaul because, they need a permit or.
But it's crazy. Like I did speak to like people who would be angry, like immigrants, you know, like, well, is the governor going to come and do these jobs? Because we had that hurricane, which wiped out entire beach towns. Mm-hmm. Who are the people rebuilding? Immigrants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that when the hurricane hit, they sent a bunch of immigrants that, I don't know, from Texas or somebody, you know, somebody, I think Abbott sent them somewhere and then they sent them.
So there was workers coming in from across the states. There's a big immigrant population in Miami and that area, and they'll drive the 2 hours to Southwest Florida to work.
Mm. So it's similar to, you know, down here where
what we see here,
Because when they, you know, kind of similar to Las Corridas, where like they'll go and
they'll go to Northern California. They follow the work.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like I said, it's crazy that, you know, sometimes we see stuff on, you know, social media.
Yeah.
And it's cool that, you know, we have somebody.
Yeah.
There.
I mean, there's truths to it, right? Exaggerations and all that. But, it'll be very interesting to see how that continues. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you lived there for a year and, you know, DeSantis was the governor. Now he's running for president.
I know. I left just in time right now. I'm kidding. I know he announced what like a few days after I left Florida, he officially announced. It's interesting. I got to cover some of his press conferences when I was there when he was like governor. He was especially after the hurricane. He was in Southwest Florida a lot, so I would get to go to some of the press conferences he would do. And I mean, people in Florida love him. I actually don't even see them voting for him as president just because they want to keep him to themselves. They're like, no, we want to keep him as governor. We do not want him in the White House. And a lot of Floridians, especially Republicans, are Trumpers, so Trump fans. So, you know, they'll back up Trump and they want DeSantis to stay as governor.
But it's funny that, you know, they started throwing at each other now.
Yeah.
So it's funny that, you know, you could be a Trump supporter and also a DeSantis supporter, even though they, you know, say
they've been going at it for a bit. Trump actually visited us. When was it? Maybe like 2 months ago. He did a campaign rally in Fort Myers, which I got to cover. I didn't get to go to the actual, you know, convention dinner, but we were there like beforehand and we covered that. And people were like, oh, wow. He's in Ron's stomping grounds, like, yeah.
And it's funny because, I mean, now Trump is a Floridian because he lives in Mar-a-Lago. So, that you know, it's funny that former president is in Florida and his governor is running against him.
It's very interesting living in Florida and being, like, in this, you know, Trump little pockets of Florida. You know, people, there's very wealthy people over there, Republicans. I'd say like 3 out of 5 cars have like F Biden and they're supporting Trump. And it's like stickers all over the cars. It's insane. Flags in front of their homes. Boats. They have, it's like, there's not a boat. Like if they own a boat, they have to put what their, you know.
What their party is.
Yes, exactly. It's like, it's insane. Yeah.
I mean, most of the people, I mean, I want to, most of the wealthy people, are, I mean, not, no, I'm not going to say that because
they tend to be Republican, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to ask you. Oh, so, you know, when you were here, you worked for, you know, a news corporation that was ABC or NBC. Over there, you worked for Fox, right?
So they're like affiliates. It's very interesting. Like, so over there, I worked for Fox 4 now. It's a local station, but it's not affiliated with National Fox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of people confuse it like, oh, so you work for National Fox. No, it's just like some local affiliates, but we're not actually Fox. Okay. Yeah,
I thought that, you know, it was...
Yeah, no, most local news stations are their own little stations. They're just like affiliates, but not to like the national. Yeah.
Okay. But they don't like... they don't have a say on what you cover or...
No, yeah. So they don't have a say on what we cover. We're not... We still have to remain, you know, impartial. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was one... My question was, you know, did you see a difference in, you know, what they wanted you to cover working for Fox and working for... But I guess it's...
Yeah. No, my news station, no. But there's definitely other news stations that might lean towards one way or another. Even if they're not affiliated with Fox or CNN or any of the big news outlets, but yeah.
So what do you hope to do next? You know, now that you work here and then across the country, San Diego.
Oh my gosh! I mean, I hope to continue reporting. It's what I enjoy doing. The industry is just so cutthroat and a little bit toxic, to be honest, that it just like, it makes you not want to continue in it, you know? And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. You know, the news industry, they hold you to these contracts, 2-year, 3-year contracts. You know, they want to tie you down. And if you break this contract, you're going to owe this much money. You can't work here. You can't work there. So it's a lot. That's kind of where I'm at. But I mean, I have full intentions to continue with reporting. But right now I'm kind of open to what doors might open up, you know, whether it be something just in media or maybe doing something behind the camera. It just kind of depends what there is. And there is options. It's just, you know, kind of just pulling the trigger and being, you know what, I'm stepping away from this, or I'm going to do this. Meanwhile, it just kind of depends. Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit into like cutthroat? Like what is it that?
Oh my gosh. It's just like our schedules are crazy enough. You know, the way the news industry works is you have to start at the bottom of the totem pole until you climb to eventually the market. We call it markets, but it's the city that you want to be in. So if I want to be in San Diego, my ultimate goal is to be, you know, full-time reporter in San Diego. I like being close to home and, you know.
Nice weather.
Yeah, that would be the goal. But you can't just, you know, work at KYMA, you know, for 2 years and then jump to San Diego. Like, it doesn't work that way. You need, like, experience. And so, which is why I continued, you know, to get outside experience and then with the hopes of transferring back. But a lot of the times you just have to continue to get more experience, because the amount of people that want to move to San Diego to report...
Yeah.
It's like a dime a dozen. You know, everyone wants to settle down there. And so it's a very competitive industry. And you basically, I never thought that I would move across, you know, the country for work. But a lot of people in news do it. They'll move from market to market until they get to the market they want. You know, like New York is number one. LA is number two. Someone who has the goal of reporting in LA will jump from market to market, maybe like, I don't know, maybe 6 years working in other states across the country until they can make it to LA, which is crazy if you think about it. Like, you're living somewhere where your family's not at. You're just working. Like, I worked from 4 to 12, but sometimes I was doing overtime where I'm working 4 to 2, 4 to 3. You don't have a lot of time for your personal life. I mean, I'm single. I don't have kids. So, you know, that's a plus for me. But someone with kids and who's married, like, I really don't know how they do it. And so you're living away from, you know, your home, and it's very hard. So it's a big commitment. Some people are willing to do it. Me, on the other hand, I was like, you know what? I'll try it. Tried it. I'm good. We'll go back. We'll go back. It's rough.
Yeah. How did you end up in Florida? I don't know if you mentioned how you end up in Florida.
In Florida? You know what? At the time, I was like open to moving, you know, trying something different. And so I kind of just went for it. I mean, it was very hard. I mean, born and raised in Imperial County. It's, you know, us here who are from Imperial Valley, we're just so family oriented. We stick by our parents, you know. So that was very hard to do, like to move away. But, you know, I did it and I was able to do it. I moved out there alone, basically.
But how did you find the opening online? Or
yeah, basically, I had been applying to jobs and I applied to a couple in Florida. I had gotten some offers, one in, what was it, Tallahassee, which is the capital. And then a week, like maybe a few days later, I got the offer in Fort Myers. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was in between two. Like, so Tallahassee is at the top of Florida, you know, and then Fort Myers is at the bottom. It was closer to beaches and stuff that they were offering me a better pay. So I went with Fort Myers. Yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. You know, I was able to do, you know, report in the mornings and I had a great morning team. And the best part of Florida are the beaches. They're so beautiful. And it's, you know, it's Gulf water, Gulf of Mexico water. It's warm. It's, yeah, man, I was always at the beach.
Hey, guys, sorry for the interruption, but I wanted to take this time to thank my sponsors. I want to thank my longtime sponsors, my friend Camilo Garcia, Eddie Lopez from Roots Creative, and my friend Jake. Thank you guys for being longtime sponsors of the podcast. I also want to thank my friends who sponsored the podcast in 2022. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your sponsorship. And if you want to become a sponsor, you can go to anchor.fm/quepasacalexico, hit the support button, and you can sponsor the podcast from 99 cents a month to $10 a month. It really helps me a lot to make this podcast better, sound better, look better, and reach out more people by promoting the podcast in social media and other websites. So if you want to become a sponsor, make sure to go to my Anchor page, and I'll leave a link, also leave a link in the description of the show. So thank you so much. And now back to the show.
Now that you can consider yourself like a veteran in the field.
A little bit, yeah.
What would you tell somebody, especially a young girl that might be thinking about, you know, doing this for a living?
I mean, I recommend it, especially if it's something that they want to do. You have to do it. You know, did I necessarily want to move to Florida? No, but it's something you have to do. You know what I mean? Like, nothing that you want really, like, comes easy. You know, it takes sacrifice. It's hard work. But at the end of the day, it was a great experience. I'm able to say that, like, I went over there, I did it. A lot of it was a little less about, you know, my career and more about, like, personal growth. You know, I didn't think that it was possible for me to live across the country by myself and, you know, do all of this. Like, things were like, my car would break down, or I got locked out of my house, or, you know, I have a lizard in my apartment. I can't call my dad for that. Or, you know, I didn't know my neighbors. Like, I experienced a lot of things that required a lot of growth. And I think that's, you know, the best outcome that could have happened. So, I mean, yeah, I recommend people to go for it. Anyone who has advice, reach out to me. I'm glad to give advice. I'm always seeking advice from, you know, past coworkers and people like that. Every time I'm about to make a move, hey, this is happening, or this and that. And I think the news community, like, is very transparent between us, because, like I said, it's a rough industry. We have higher ups who are giving us orders. We have contracts, and it's just hard. So we kind of, like, reporters kind of rely on each other, like, to bounce things off each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that you're back, has, you know, your former employer reached out or?
No, they have not. I still talk to my former boss out from KYMA. And you know what? I miss reporting here so much. Like, the reason I got into reporting is because I love my community. Like, I love Imperial County, you know? I was in Florida, but I was keeping up with what was happening in the city of Calexico, a lot of stuff. And, you know, just everything, you know, the fire departments, the police departments. I'm keeping up with what's happening, especially at the border and stuff like that. And there's so much great news that comes out over here. Like, I would have, like, FOMO, you know, my gosh. I mean, I was, like, in the middle of packing, and the whole border stuff was happening in Hakumba, and, you know, with the Title 42. And I was like, oh, my gosh, if I could just fly out there right now and just, you know, start reporting, I would. But that's why San Diego's kind of the next, you know, step. Unfortunately, here in the Valley, we do have, like, news outlets. There's just not a lot of money to be made. Mm. It's a starter market. It's, you know, I was getting paid very little, less than $30K to do what I was doing reporting out here in the Valley. And it was a lot of work. Mm. I was, you know, I hardly clocked out. I was, like, always looking for something, you know. Even when I clocked out, if something else happened, I would rush to it, you know. So it was a lot of work for very little pay. And unfortunately, the pay hasn't, you know, increased to what cost of living is now.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part.
Yeah, and I mentioned it because, you know, Billy left.
Billy King.
And then what's the other guy's name? He used to doing sports.
Sports. Was he in Yuma?
Yeah, I think so. But he would come down here too.
Man, I don't know.
I don't remember his name, but yeah, he left too. So I was like, maybe.
Yeah, so we basically have contracts, and when that contract is up, people leave. Oh, Wiley Jahari. Yeah, Wiley. Yeah. Yeah. Wiley is in Cleveland now. Yeah. He got a sports gig. Wiley is killing it. Mm-hmm. He's doing really good.
Yeah, I remember.
Who I never even met in person, right? Never even met him.
Because when you left, he kind of
hired after I left. But like I said, like, the reporting community is small. We stay in contact with each other. I talk to the reporters who are at KYMA now, and, like, I've never even met them in person. But
I mentioned that, well, you guys, because, you know, well, I started talking to you, and then I kind of reached out to Billy, and then Wiley. We kind of talked. I would see him at the gym, because when I go to the gym, it's, like, really late, like 10:30, mm-hmm. midnight. Yeah, and sometimes he would be there. And I'll be like, hey, I see you at the gym. What's up? he's like,
what the heck? What gym were you going to?
Planet Fitness.
That's so funny. He didn't live in Calexico, though, right?
No, but I would see him here.
I think he lived in El Centro. Maybe, you know, Planet Fitness, you can go to the El Centro Calexico one.
And we started, like, talking, like, I would see him because I would do sports with John Moreno and Victor Carrillo. Mm-hmm. So I would see him at the games and stuff like that. So we kind of talked a little bit. So that's the only group. Like, I don't know if there's new, you know, the people that replace you guys.
Yeah, I mean, after Wiley left, there was also an Vincent who was here. Mm-hmm. Ibarra, I believe his name was. He was reporting. Both of them left. I've met Karina, who's one of the reporters here now. She's great, and I know there's another reporter. I don't know her name, but yeah.
Yeah, and, like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm a reporter because I, you know, I keep up with the news, and then I try to share some of the stories on my podcast or whatever. So, like, it's fun to kind of, like, follow the local reporters, because you can kind of, like, get to, you know, when I started following you, like, I liked the behind the scenes.
The behind the scenes. I used to do that a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially you did it in Florida, huh?
In Florida, I didn't do it as much. I definitely showed the beaches I was at. It was like the best part of, like, being a morning reporter in Florida was waking up with the sunrise. Yeah. The sunrise. Beautiful. And then I was at, I maybe had about once or twice a week, like, my stories were at the beach. Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah. So San Diego is hopefully your next.
It is. I am open to, like, other markets on, you know, the west side. Some options are, like, Las Vegas, Phoenix area as well. So we'll see. Maybe even Northern California. But I don't know.
You want to stay driving
distance?
Ideally,
I want to stay home, you know, in the home area. But, you know, I'm open to other options. I just moved back. I've been here for, like, about a week. So I'm adjusting. I'm saying hi to all the friends, you know, and I've been in I've been in Calexico for a few days, and it's been nice to be here, see the growth here as well. I'm always on the lookout for what's happening here.
And you know, you mentioned coming back, and you mentioned you're keeping up. So what's your, you know, that you, now that you're back after a year, you know, what are your thoughts on what's going on in Calexico and in the Valley? And
you don't want to know my thoughts. I'm kidding. I don't know. I do see growth. You know what I mean? The most growth that I've seen is, and that continues to grow, is like Imperial.
Yeah.
Imperial and El Centro, you just see new, like more businesses. Here in Calexico, I see that we're still struggling. Every time I pass by, what is it, Imperial and the construction that's happening?
Yeah, 98 or Birch.
What is happening?
I don't know. It's been
when year. I was here, it was all it, construction was happening. It's now been what, years?
So I think the initial issue was that whoever started the project at the end bailed, and
there was like a pause. Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're like continuing the work. I've seen like some progress happening. But it is a mess. It is a mess. I mean, yesterday, Friday, you know, the feedlot to go to Mexicali is just insane.
Yeah, last night I was out at 9. I was at Walmart, and then I needed to go to write it. And for some reason, I didn't think it was already that late, that I didn't think taking 111 would be crazy. And yeah, I was stuck like for 10 minutes just like, 500 feet from the stoplight, like trying to make the right.
Yeah, and it discourages you really from like going and supporting, I don't know, going out to eat somewhere, you know.
In the east.
But I mean, I definitely have seen growth. There's a lot of new business I've seen. The other day I went down to the, what is it, Sophie's Raspados, and now there's a new taco shop in that little plaza as well.
Taco shop is good.
So that's pretty cool. I saw that there's a new gym, Mole Gym, that opened up. I went to FLX yesterday. Which is a gym I used to go to when I lived here, and that gym is awesome. They keep improving it, you know.
They brought new equipment not too long ago.
So it's super cool to see that. I haven't been to downtown area yet, which is, you know, my stomping grounds. I'll probably do it. I like to cruise over there and just see what's happening. But I know there's a lot of stores that have closed down.
Yeah, downtown is bad. I've been going to downtown a lot because my son plays basketball in Mexicali, so sometimes like we'll park the car in the border and we'll walk across, and sometimes you see feces that you don't know if it's human or because I'm like, I don't see any dogs downtown, like,
yes,
so it's like, what the heck, you know.
Yes, I mean, when I was in Florida, people would complain about the homeless crisis, and I'm like, where? I do not see it. And then coming back home, I think I got here, when was it, like last Saturday or something, a friend brought me, and we stopped at the gas station in El Centro, and it was like homeless, and you know, it was just not good. I'm just like, wow, what's going on?
And I think it's, yeah, you kind of see it getting a little bit worse here, because
I'm seeing a lot of more like what look like permanent little camps. You know what I mean? Whereas before, you'd see just people like kind of stationed in a place and they'll move around. But right now I'm seeing just like, if you pass by the mall, the big Imperial Valley mall sign, there's a whole tent there that's been there. Like, I passed by already like 3 days in a row, and it's like, there's just like these permanent little camps now. And you see it here in Calexico too, behind Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
As I was driving in, I think I saw a brush fire out there, like behind Walmart. It was a small one, but yeah, you know, there's people out there living.
And a lot of the, you know, fires that we've had, like in old downtown buildings or even abandoned homes, have been, I mean, according to fire department and the police, have been because of, you know,
of homelessness, transients in the area, squatters, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of what I used to follow here too, the fires.
The fires.
We would have a fire in a building, like it'd be like on a Monday, and then on Thursday we'd be back because they would get back inside the building.
Same building.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you were covering the one that was by the theater.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
And that happened twice.
It was that. What is that? It's like an old.
It's like an old house.
It's an old house, a property. It's from a family here in in Calexico. I think the owners of Las Palmas, they owned that property. Okay. And they had plans for that, like what was left of it. They were going to like reconstruct it and do something. But after those fires, it was like maybe two fires in a row. They're like, I mean, nothing's left.
Yeah, within like a week or a couple of weeks. It was two fires. I'm like, nah, that's crazy. And you know, fires here in Calexico have been a thing all...
Yes.
Starting from, I think, like from COVID, like that's when it, you know, kind of like was a... Or even before, because when we talked, you were already covering them. So, but since 2019, I want to say, till now, like it's kind of slowed down now. But, you know, for like 3-4 years, it's been like, even like, I don't know if you saw that this, there's a recycling center here or something that caught on fire like not too long ago. It was like huge fire. It was bad. Like some of the homes, because, you know, there's homes right here. Some of the homes like almost caught on fire. Come here.
Yeah, that's crazy because, I mean, it's a lot of resources that go into putting out a fire, you know, a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's all the fire departments. It's from here to Brawley. You know, Brawley deals with it a lot, too. They have a lot of, like, these vacant areas where homeless have, like, sheltered in and, yeah.
And specifically, you know, Calexico, what do you, what are your thoughts on, you know, our city?
Our city, I don't know. I think it's, I will say there is progress, you know.
And where?
Especially when you think about the schools, you know, the high school, I think it's very important that they're fixing it up. You know, it's, I mean, when I was there, it was very old and, you know, you're in trailers and, you know, these new high-tech classrooms are going to bring, you know, more classes for these students and, you know, better opportunities. I've seen a lot of progress, like with sports. I mean, the Valley, you know, just in general, there's like so many opportunity for these kids in sports and, you know, to continue that into college and it'll take them, you know, somewhere. So that's great to see. But I mean, you know, the Valley's, you know, the Valley. We, you know, it's small here. It's small progress, but.
And it's, you know, the reason I ask is because, you know, I've been, you know, I never left. You had a chance to leave and kind of see other things and how maybe local governments work or how the community is involved, stuff like that. That's the reason I kind of like, I'm trying to pick your brain to see what, you know, what you see in terms of, you know, progress or, you know, being stagnant in the same political issues or, you know, things that we can't get over. So I don't know, you know, I think that I've been here so long that.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see more involvement when it comes with that. You know, I just think people, I don't know, they maybe get accustomed to what it is and. I don't know. They don't want to help and be part of the change. I know it's hard, but I don't know. Like in Florida, we had a lot. Like I would be surprised. I'd go to these like city meetings and county meetings and some of the people in power are not even Floridians. You know, they were just people who moved there, passionate about the town. And, you know, they decided to run for local office and it's very interesting. Whereas here it's like, you know, people who are born and raised here, which is great too. Right. But it's very interesting to see, you know, different dynamics and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I feel that, you know, especially, you know, knowing people that have been in politics that have been here, you know, all of their lives. And, you know, you can tell they love the city.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, that love and that connection to the city might not be, you know, the best thing.
Yeah.
Because you might see, I don't know, you might see like somebody new as an enemy or as a...
Yeah. I know right now I believe the Calexico Fire Department's looking for a new police chief, right? I think there's candidates who are already in, you know, with the police department that are probably, you know, candidates for chief. But I think they're also interviewing outside people. What is the best decision? Someone inside or outside? I don't know. We've seen the history here, right? And it's,
And I think that...
I don't want to say too much, but, you know, we've seen the history of the city. So it's just like...
And I think sometimes we because you see it in both ways, like, you know, hiring somebody local might not be the best thing, but then you hire somebody outside, and
yeah,
especially in education. I worked in education for 20 years, and a lot of the times, you know, us employees be like, oh, don't hire somebody that's already here because, you know, they know so-and-so and they're going to be, you know, favor them, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Let's hire somebody from outside. And then we do. And then they come here and, you know, make a mess and they leave and we end up, you know. But at the same time, it's, I think it, either way is, it's a coin flip, you know, like.
Yeah. It is. And I mean, us who are from here, we're just like so invested, we're passionate, and it's just, yeah, it's a tough one. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one for sure. But I mean, I see some progress for sure. You know, there's a lot of new businesses. I think a lot of it is just us really supporting the local businesses. Mm-hmm. Like, even the other day, like, we went out to eat, me and my family, we went to Imperial. We went that way, you know, and it's like, hold up. Yeah. This is why, you know, maybe some businesses don't last here. We go somewhere else instead of supporting our own city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously we have Mexicali, which is huge. We have a lot of people who...
And you know what? And a lot of the times that people go to Mexicali is because, oh, you know, it's cheaper.
But it's not. And then La Fila. Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That itself is a discouragement.
Especially now that the dollar is not as strong as it was before.
Yeah.
You feel it, like, you go out to eat and it's like, oh damn, like, you know, it's not.
It is not cheap out there. Even like you go shopping out there, it's like, whoa.
I mean, obviously there are places that are cheaper, but yeah, you know, if you want to go to a fancy place in Mexicali, you know, you're gonna feel it. It's not
chump change. Mm-mm. No. And speaking of Mexicali, so much happening over there. My parents right now are like, no, don't even go to Mexicali, you know, the typical parents. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, there's a lot going on over there.
I think that because we go probably on a weekly basis just for like dentists and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I feel that if you do those kinds of things where like early, you're not out at places.
Where go in the daylight. Uh-huh. You already know where you're going. And, you know, you just got to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, and I think Mexico in itself, it's kind of, I saw somewhere that, you know, the death rate or the amount of people that have been killed by cartels or whatever is way higher, you know, ever since this current president took over.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of way more killings. But he says, what's his saying? Abrazos, no balazos. Have you heard him say
it? I have heard him. I've heard some stuff that he says that's pretty funny. Silly president. I don't know. I know what has increased and is a constant increase is the feminicidios, crimes against women, you know, and Mexicali, Baja California. Baja California has some of the highest, like, death rates for women. So that's scary. And we've seen the protests, you know.
Yeah, we see them because they close down the border sometimes.
And, oh, my God, to hear, like, every time I follow, like, the Mexican out, like, La Cronica and, like, all those outlets in Baja. And it's just so sad every time, like, there's a new report or something. It's, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else that you would like to share now that, you know, you've been here a second time and... you've experienced living across the country, coming back.
Yeah.
Anything that I didn't ask you that you might want to share?
I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's great to be back. There's nothing like being home, you know, and I mean, born and raised in the Valley. So it's, you know, great to see, you know, still restaurants that are still open and just coming home and, you know, being with your parents and, It's been nice coming back. It was a great experience moving away as well. You know, it's a lot of learning curves for sure. I think, you know, for some of us who grew up in the Valley, we can be a little sheltered and afraid of moving across country. Like when I did it, I had friends reach out to me like, hey, how did you do this? Like just asking for advice, right? So, you know... yeah, I would just tell people not to be afraid to, like, branch out and explore, you know? But yeah, it's great to be back. I'm excited for what's to come. Hopefully I could stay close by to home, you know, but that's pretty much the goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this is not the last time that, you know, we have you on. Maybe next time it's a new big city that you've traveled to.
Oh my gosh, maybe.
And get to come and share more stories and talk a little bit about, you know, your experiences. And it's funny, you know, it's cool that, you know, it was more of self-growth for you.
Like, yes, you know. Yes, of course. That's what I tell people, you know, it's about the personal growth for sure. Mm. You can't take it back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we gotta, you know, always be learning. Yeah. and growing to become better, especially at a craft, you know, like reporting and you know, those kinds of things, you know, or just life in general, like,
yeah,
I'll never stop learning.
And hopefully I, you know, having a podcast has always been a dream of mine, which I've talked to you about. Yes. It before. Yeah, I'm excited to do that. I've always wanted to start a podcast with one of my best friends, and I'm like, now that I'm back, we need to actually do it, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see how.
Yeah,
that...
you know, definitely, you know, if you don't want to invest right now, I have some equipment that I haven't been using that I can.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
So, definitely let me know, and I'll be there to help you out.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask for a lot of advice from you.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm here. I enjoy teaching others.
How many years have you had a podcast now?
I don't know. It's been
a while.
It's been like 5, I want to say.
Wow.
Let me check. Let me check when my first episode was uploaded. 2017. December 8, 2017. So it's going to be 6 years. Oh, it's been a while.
That's pretty incredible.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that long. But yeah, I'm definitely here to help if you need my help. And like I said, I'll let you borrow some equipment if you want to.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure. All right, Alexandra, thank you for you know, having a beer with me. You're enjoying a seltzer, but and, you know, just talking and hanging out. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening or watching, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.